Welcome to the Springs Church Podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives.
Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness.
Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God.
Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how Holy Spirit, the Bible, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
Well, I want to welcome those watching online and those of you at Springs Calgary. We're so glad to have you with us. Technology is amazing. Hey, that we can all come together. Let's welcome them. So grateful for what God's doing, not only in this house, but in those who call us their home all around the world. So cool. So my name's Eden, if you don't know me, and I was raised in this church. I am a PK, which means pastor's kid, and so grateful that 15 years ago, I went out with the crew to Calgary to help start our location there, and I've stayed there because I met my husband there, and God's planted us there. But I love coming here and seeing you guys and sharing the word, and it really is one church, one family on many locations. Come visit us there. So many of you do. You come and visit in the summer, and I love it. I love the families coming together, and I always encourage our Calgarians to come check out Winnipeg, because Springs is worth the trip to Winnipeg to come see it all and be in the room, right? But just grateful for what God's doing and that He chose us to be in Canada at this time, that He chose each and every one of us to be here, to be His family, His hands and feet. And, you know, I married a PK, who knew? Also grew up a pastor's kid. And my husband, Jaden, and I, you know, when we got married and started having kids, you know, just thinking about the way we grew up in church. You know, different cities, different churches, different provinces. But in looking back on our life, and as you get older, you are better at looking back and understanding and getting wisdom and seeing where maybe you went your own way and seeing the goodness and the grace of God as you look back on times that maybe you were just so focused on yourself that you weren't looking to God to see His hand and His goodness. But we look back and we go, thank God for church. Thank God that our parents raised us in church and a life-giving, healthy church. Unfortunately, they are not all that way, but a church that preaches Jesus, that preaches the word, and so much of our foundation today, so much of our strength and what we know is the real life in us is Jesus, His word. But we look back and go, it was the consistency of church in our life, of Sunday school, of youth, 20-somethings, being a part of all that God was doing in church and letting the word have its place in our heart. I think my mom said I was 3 days old when I was first in church, and I've never looked back. So that's almost 40 years. So a lot of church in my life, and I thank God for it. I have books of notes. Anybody else who grew up with us? Just like books of them, of the notes from dad and grandma, grandpa, and all the amazing pastors that we have here at the church. And the word works, everyone. The word is amazing. And so my husband and I realized that this needed to be foundational in our home. And so our kids, we got 3 kids, ages 6, 4, and 2. We've done the same thing. We've seen the importance of keeping them in the house of the Lord, of showing them what it looks like to serve and to magnify God and to give of our finances and to show up for the community and love one another and to be about our Father's business, just like Jesus, right? So I want to encourage you in that. If you're a family that's just kind of trying it out, commit to church. Commit to the family of God, because Jesus said, I will build my church. That's you and I. But when we come together, it's really hard to be the church staying in our houses and doing our own thing. But when you bring an army, a company of people together who love God and who are going to believe His word and walk out what He's called us to do, we become an unstoppable force of love and truth and power to our neighbors, our communities. The world needs Jesus so desperately, so desperately. Thank you, Lord. And we are just the people to give them Jesus. We are his hands and his feet. We are his body. And you know, the eye can't say, I'm going to get it wrong, but the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Basically, we all need each other. We need to show up in unity. That was Jesus's prayer before he went to heaven with the Father, was that we would be one, that we would be in unity. And so can't we see that the enemy is doing everything to divide us, to not bring us together, to find things to argue over? Pastor Zach said it himself, you know, the world comes together more so on the things they hate than the things they love. Let's be people that shows them how to love and how to overcome and how to, and of course, that's only because of Jesus in us, not because, you know, we're anything different, but because we let him live through us. And so all of that to say, keep coming to church. Get your kids in church. No, my kids don't always feel like coming. But I am a good mom, and I say, we're going. We're going. You're going to go to Sunday school. And so just keep, it's the consistency. It's the consistency of staying in the Word, of coming to church and being washed in the Word and magnifying him. I am living example that it is such a treasure to the children, because I used to be one. And now I get to walk in the grace and the goodness that I've learned and the foundation and the identity that was poured into me. And so I know so many of you have raised your children here, but let's continue. Let's be people who bring our families to church and pray for our families if they're lost, because God wants to see our families restored, and it's going to start with us and letting him live through us. So all of that to say, I am a mom who is not perfect. I am not the poster child for how to be world's best mom, but I'm always going to be vulnerable and honest with you guys. It's the only way I know how to be. I'm authentic to a fault sometimes. I might tell you too much, but I like that. I like when people are real and when we got nothing to hide, and when in that realness, we just glorify Jesus. We don't try to exalt our faults or our mistakes, but that we look for the truth in him while we are being real with one another. So with our kids, my goal is to teach them everything through the Word of God. Everything. No matter what, everything is found in the Word of God. How to live in health, how to walk in wisdom, how to treat people, how to take care of your finances, how to prosper, how to deal with the enemy, how to deal with what the world throws at you. Everything. I have been studying this book for almost 40 years, and I tell you, I have not found one situation in life where it has not helped me, changed me, corrected me, encouraged me, strengthened me, because that is the goodness of our God. He's always been good. Always. Even before you arrived, he was already good for you, already good to you. And so I just look for, just in our normal day lives, okay? I'm not like sitting down with my children. Okay, guys, turn to page. You know, kids are not like that. We all have kids, right? and I mean, we have a book. Thank God for a book to come back to. But even in Jesus's day, no one had, they had the law, but they didn't have the book. They didn't have the New Testament. They had Jesus speaking to their face, the word flesh, right? And so often in our families, you are Jesus in the flesh to them. You are Jesus in the flesh to your neighbors, your community, and you need to get the word out your lips, and you need to explain what God's revealing to you. And so as I'm seeking God and I'm wanting to just know his ways, and I don't want to think that I know things. Lord, you show me what you know, and I want to receive what you know. I let that educate me as a parent, and I do my very best. I make mistakes, and I'm quick to say sorry to my kids and show them how to fail in God's grace and how to get back up again, right? So don't be afraid to make mistakes with your kids. They know you pretty well. They know when you screw up, and it's better to just fess up and ask for forgiveness and move on. That has served me well, just to be real with my children as well. But you know what? We always come back to God. We always come back to his nature. We always come back to, what does the Bible say about how you're feeling right now? Did you know, honey, that God says that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and we're going to figure it out. We're going to stick with him. We're going to talk to him. And so you can use the word in any season, in and out of season. And so because of this, my children tend to ask me very big questions. It's my own doing, you know? I'm not the one with all the answers, but thank the Lord that the great I am lives in me, like we sang today. How many are blessed by that truth, that God, the God of the universe, the God who loves you. Amen. We are so blessed. Wherever you go, he's with you. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. So I'm not going to avoid my children's questions or my own questions or things that me and my husband are dealing with. We're going to take them to God. We're going to trust and believe that we hear his voice because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so I declare that over my life. I hear your voice, God. I know your words, and I get his voice in my heart. Guys, we have no excuse. You do not want to get to the gates of heaven one day and go, well, I didn't know, because God will go, it's not going to cut it. I sent you a book. I sent you my word to heal you. And in fact, the word has already healed you. There's this gift waiting for all of us to unpack and to know him, to walk in his ways. And so when my kids ask me questions, they always come, you know, at inopportune times, but be ready in season and out of season, especially as parents. And you say, thank you, Lord. Just give me grace. Give me your wisdom. Tell me, show me how to answer this. And then I just look for his voice and not my own wisdom or smarts, right? So a few weeks ago, I preached a message in Calgary based off a question my son asked me. It was, when we go to heaven, will our van come with us? We love our van at the Shimoda house. Anybody else love their van? It's a blessing. We love our van. So if you want to listen to that, you can on the app or the website. It's amazing what God brought to me through that one silly question and where we journeyed. Today, I want to show you a question my daughter asked me recently in the revelation that God gave me. And I want you to know that God's no respecter of person. We see throughout his word that he wants to make himself known in your life. And one verse I shared with you last time that I was with you was Mark 4, 24 to 25, and I just can't leave this verse. And the New King James Version says that it's the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the same measure and more beside it will come to you. And those that don't give a measure of thought and study to the truth that they hear, even what they think they have, because you ain't got nothing if you don't got truth, will be taken away from them. And the Passion Translation, which is what I have for you today, says, then Jesus said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, as you are diligent, not as God makes you diligent, you decide what you want to be diligent in. So as we decide for ourselves, I want to understand God's word. I want to open my heart up to it. As you decide that, more understanding will be given to you. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. You do know God is the God of more, right? We serve a very generous God in more ways than one. In thousands, if not millions of ways, God is the God of more. That our heart would long to know something, that he would give us revelation, but that it's his heart's desire to give us much more. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. And so what I have discovered in my own life, but also now as a parent with my children, because they're coming to me at such a young age wanting to understand God. And what about this, Mom? And that when I just give my heart to God, when I just open my heart to him, and I go, Lord, I want to understand your truth. I want to understand what you wrote and why you wrote it and who you wrote it to and what it means for me. I don't want to tell you what I think it is. I want to hear you and you tell me. And yes, that's what I want. And so I was getting ready one morning and my daughter came in. She's 4 and I hoisted her up on the bathroom counter and she's always got her little like pretend makeup and, you know, her little bunny and we're just hanging out. And she goes, Mom, does God miss us? And I just stopped for a second because you have to understand that in our household, my father passed away 1.5 years ago and he went to be with Jesus. And so we miss him. I know many of you do too. And so my children ask me a lot about Pops and I just thank Jesus that they've not forgotten him. I'm like, Lord, may they remember every memory they have with him. And so we talk about heaven a lot in our house because it's my heart's desire that heaven would be my reality. Not what the earth tells me to think about grief and loss and sorrow, because God knows that this life is but a vapor and we are going to spend eternity which is so much longer than what we get down here. Like, you can't even compare the two. And so it's my heart's desire that that would be made real to me and that I would make that real for my children as I minister to them through that loss. And so Olive was obviously missing Pops. And it was so cool that she translated it to God. Does God miss me? Because Pops is in heaven, but I'm not in heaven. And, you know, just to go back a second, I sat in so many life celebrations of your loved ones here in this room growing up, and Pastor Leon on stage. And what did he always tell us? When you are missing your loved one, when you're thinking of them, when you feel that heartache, you need to ask yourself, what are they doing right now? They're walking hand in hand with Jesus. Maybe they're climbing a waterfall with Samson. Maybe they're having lunch with King David. Your imagination can go wild, and it's fun. And so I took that to heart because I heard my dad say it over and over and over again at all of our life celebrations for loved ones from church here that have gone on to be with Jesus. And so my daughter's been hearing everything I have to say, and I'm trying to meet her in that. And I said, God's really excited for us to come home when all of God's kids gather in eternity, when this day and age is done and Jesus comes back and we all go to heaven. Yeah, God's so excited for us to go home with him. But Olive, did you know that when we believe on Jesus, when we believe that Jesus died for us because God loves us, the Bible tells us that God's spirit comes to live inside of our spirit. Isn't that so cool? So everywhere you go, God is with you. But you know what? I do think he misses us sometimes when we forget to talk to him or when we don't find ourselves in his presence. And so we kind of ended it there. And I said, you know, you can talk to God anytime you want, Olive. I do talk to God, Mommy. Awesome, babe. You talk to him as much as you want. He loves to hear from you. And you're going to hear his voice too. He's going to talk to your heart. And he's going to give you ideas and dreams and imaginations that are from him. And we just left it there. But God is so good. He always keeps. And because I bring it to him, I was like, Lord, I've never asked myself this question before. Do you miss me? Well, that's a good question. And not that I heard any like specific sentence or word, but God's just been bringing truths to my heart and reminding me of things I've read in his word or as I'm going through the word. How many are enjoying the book of John with Pastor Zach on Instagram? So good, right? I've really been enjoying it. And I hope he does more of that. So fun to study the word together. But just seeing Jesus's heart for us and seeing that it was his desire for us to be one with him and the Father, okay? So we see in the word that our inheritance, that what God is calling us into is to not be separate from him, but to be one with him. What an invitation. What a gift. In Corinthians, it says that his spirit and our spirit literally are one. And I just go, thank you, Jesus. And I'm not saying I fully understand everything, but I've opened my heart to revelation of that. And whenever you're reading something in the word, don't be caught up by something you might not understand or this is weird. You know what? God put it there for a reason. You open your heart to him and he will bring you revelation. You say, Lord, I want to learn this. I want to understand this. Just as you would in any other relationship, talk to him. And so I've just been opening my heart to him on this. And I wanted to share out of the revelation of this that God is always with us, right? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't worry about what other people have around you and wish that you had those things and seeking outside of yourself to find what you think you need. Be content with such things as you have. And I love this because the writer reminds us of what things we have. For God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what you have. That's what I have. We have the great I am, the maker of the universe, our Father, his spirit is with us wherever we go. Why would we get caught up in what other people have or what the world thinks we need? We need to get caught up in the one that we have, because all of our needs are met according to his riches and glory. And that's what I want. I want my needs met according to his riches and glory. So I need to be one with him in all that I do. He is calling us. And I know if you've been listening to me for a couple months, I'm kind of saying the same thing from different angles. Don't blame me, blame God. He's the one bringing this revelation. He obviously wants us to get this in a whole new way, because this is ministering to me, and that's why I minister it to you, because this is my heart's desire, that I would be one with Jesus and God and Holy Spirit, and they're with me. They're doing their part. Never will I leave you. Jesus died, rose again. We have all authority. Like, man, we've got the greatest blessing. We've got every reason to get this right. Every reason. But we need to know what we have. And how are we going to know it? Give the measure of your thought and study to the truth that you hear. It's important that we know the word, that we journey in it, that every day we just take time to read it and understand it and believe that it's for us. Believe that there's something in here that God's given me to be a messenger of his word, to live out his word. And, you know, we need to use God's phone number a lot more in life. I know I do. I'm speaking for myself. Jeremiah 33:3. It's God's phone number. Call me and I will answer you. 24/7 phone line. I think that's pretty good. No answering machine ever. Do people even use those anymore? Too many texts these days, hey? Somebody just call, right? Just call. Call God. Don't just ponder to yourself and think. Call to me and I will answer you. And if that wasn't good enough, because it is, that's good right there. He says, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Guys, he loves us so much. And there's things we need to know. And when we wake up in the day, call him. When we're going through a hard time in our marriage, or we're trying to understand the spouse that God gave us, or the spouse we chose, whichever. God is there, and he can show you how to love your spouse for who he made them to be. And we need to stop changing them or trying to change them and just get in line with God and go, God, I'm going to call to you. Will you show me great and mighty things in my marriage that I don't know yet? He said he will. But ask him for those great and mighty things in those areas of life that you need them. Lord, this child of mine, man, they're testing my patience, or sheesh, I'm understanding what it means to be a child. And Lord, I'm so grateful for how you've put up with me. Because you start to understand God in a whole new light when you become a parent. And Lord, will you show me things about my son that I need to know so that I can love them in the way that only you could show me how to love them? We are so blessed that God says, call me anytime, anywhere. And why can we do that? Because God is omnipresent. Not only is he in us, but he's everywhere. You can't escape him. David wrote about this in the Psalms. If I go to the heights, if I go to the depths, no matter where I go, Romans promises us that nothing can separate you from the love of God. So why would you let yourself think that anything could, right? So we have to, with everything that we are, receive this truth and not let the enemy or the distractions of this world or your own stinking thinking, your unrenewed mind, we can't let it get in the way. And the way to renew your mind is to receive this truth, to go after it, to be consistent in learning it and practicing it. And God says, I want to do everything with you. And that's something he's been just speaking to me for months now, that if my church would just call to me in everything. He's excited to partner with you, to show you great and mighty things. For God so loved you that he sent his one and only son. What else would he not give you, right? And the only way you're going to have revelation of this is that you open your heart to him. And you say, Lord, would you fill this revelation in my heart? I want to seek to know what it means that you're in me. Who are you? What's your presence? What does it mean? And as you learn, you say, thank you, God, that you're my provider. Thank you, God, that you're my healer, my deliverer, my strength, my peace, my joy. I don't want to go anywhere outside of your presence. This phrase, in his presence, has become really just special to me, that Lord, may I always stay in your presence in everything that I do. May I live to glorify you. And you know what? This is scriptural. The Bible says that you can do everything for the glory of God. So I'm not talking about living a life where, mom's talking to God right now. Where you negate your responsibilities as a parent or a spouse or a teacher or who you are in the community. No, God actually has you here for a reason. We're not just going to wait for Jesus and ignore the world. God wants to use you for a purpose here. He wants to partner with you in ways that only you can be a part of the harvest, which is bringing people into the kingdom, letting them know that they have a Father who loves them and a Savior who did everything in their place, and all they need to do is believe it to receive the gift. And don't let anyone or anything get in the way of that, because if the enemy knows that God wants us to be one, that God sent his Son, he's been around a long time, and he is the God of this world, the Bible tells us. He's working really hard to make you feel like you have to do everything in your effort, that you have to do everything in your strength, that you'll find the answer in a pill or in a website or in a new diet routine. Or, now, don't get me wrong, there's wisdom and there's faith. Dad always taught that faith and wisdom are the power twins, and I couldn't agree more by how I've been reading the scripture. So I'm not saying any of those things are bad in and of themselves, but our source and where we find ourselves is of paramount importance, and really all we have need is in him. All we have need of is in him, and he will lead and guide you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He will lead and guide you to the right friends, to the right jobs, to the right communities, to the right information on how to help your child. Maybe they're going through a harder time. Okay, Lord, show me in your word what can be a blessing to them. He wants to guide you in all things. You know, one of my favorite verses is Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Let us be people, let us be a church that doesn't do anything without him. That in him we would live. I need God more than I need my next breath. That should be our heart cry. That, Lord, all I want is you. I don't need anything else. But Lord, you've given me so much, and I want to be the best caretaker of the needs and the people and the life and the blessing that you have for me. And I know I can't do it without you, because only in you will I live. Only in you will I dare move. And only in you will I find my being, my state of what it means to be at rest in him, to be still in his presence, to be the daughter of God, the son of God that God made you to be. You need him. It's him. We're not chasing the healing. We're not chasing the peace. We're not chasing the prosperity. He is those things. And we just chase him. And we're not even chasing him. He's chasing us. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We don't even need to chase him. But what I'm trying to say to you is this world has us trying to chase things, right? Always trying to get the next thing, or try to figure out the next way to get more followers and to be more whatever and more money. And we have no need of that. All we need is him. All we need is to be found in his presence. So how do we... in 30 seconds, how do we live in a way that's in him? How do we live and move and find our being in him? Well, I was reading in Luke, and I was so inspired by Jesus's words. In Luke 11:27 to 28, it says, "And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you.'" Basically, man, your mom's a lucky lady, right? Like, wow, you're just hearing everything he had to see, seeing the miracles, the signs, the wonders that came with Jesus. This woman gets a revelation. Oh, your mom's one blessed lady. And Jesus said, more than that. So yes, I agree with you. My mom's blessed. But more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. God is doing a new thing in the church today. And he's calling us to rise up and to not just hear his word, but to be a church that keeps it, that practices it, that does it, that doesn't just amen on church, at church, so good, love it, but that we live it, that we go home and we actually love our neighbor, and that we actually pray for those who persecute us and bless those who curse us, that we live the kingdom life that God has called us to. More blessed than Mary, the mother of Jesus, are those. Blessed are those, not more, but more than that. More than that. Yes, my mom's blessed, but guess what, guys? More than that. Blessed are those who don't just hear my word, but do it. And I love that just a couple chapters before, he's talking on the same vein. He says, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. Imagine being the siblings and the mother of Jesus. You don't stand a chance in that crowd. Because if you read your Bible, there were thousands. I think in one record, we found out there was just 5,000 men. So that's a good 20,000 people. I don't know how they heard him in that crowd, what speakers were used. But anyways, my brain goes. So his mom and his brothers come and they want to see him. And someone comes and tells him that. And he says, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But Jesus answered them and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. And as I read these scriptures within a couple days of each other, I went, Lord, you're really passionate about this, aren't you? That he wasn't saying, I don't love my mother. I don't love my brothers. What I feel that he was doing was showing us what real family looks like. The family of God. You want real family? You want to see what a family can do? Hear my words and then do them. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't wait till you understand all the ins and the outs. Just be ready to follow me. Radical obedience. Where, Lord, I just want to do what you say because you know me. You knew me before the foundation of the world. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So why would I ever think that I know anything? I should always be found in your presence going, Lord, I'm just so grateful that you chose me. I loved Pastor Zach's message series, Jesus Chose You. And that phrase has been going over and over in my head since he started teaching. You chose me, Lord. You chose me. I'm so grateful. Not only did you choose me, but you gave me everything I needed for life and godliness, because who is everything I need for life and godliness? God's Spirit inside of me. It's not the what, it's the who. And we need to pursue the who, the God, the one and only God who loves us. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you really love me, then you will keep or obey my commands. If the one who made us is telling us the best way to live, like there should just be no competition here. There should just be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But the enemy is at work and he's trying real hard to make the church feel that God's no fun. He's a party pooper. Oh, it's all rules, right? He's trying hard and has been for years. But a child who knows the word doesn't fall for lies like that. And this is why we need to be people of the word. We need to be children who eat, sleep, breathe, pray, command with the word of God. Amen. Because it's our sword. And we don't have to worry about the wiles of the enemy. We don't have to worry about the distractions and what the world always wants to tell us what to think. Don't you hate how they want, aren't you so stressed? Don't you hate how they plant those thoughts? Like they just think, well, everyone's stressed, so you should be stressed. We don't have to fall into the world's way of thinking. Jesus said that we are not of this world. And so as you know better, you need to do better. Because Pastor Zach talked about mental ascent at the worship night. What a powerful night. Don't just know something, live it. Don't just feel better for having heard it and, oh, isn't Jesus good? No, Jesus wants to be good in your life. He wants you to see his goodness in your marriage, in your parenting, in your children, in the generations and generations and generations to come. Amen? And let me tell you, his will doesn't come to your life unless you open your heart and you receive it and you become one with him and you radically turn aside from what you think is right. Well, God just doesn't understand how much I hurt. Are you kidding me? You don't know God then. Spend some time in the Word and start there. Start with just how much he knows you. He loves you. And no matter what the need is, no matter what the pain is, he tells us forgiveness is the way, so I'm going to trust him. Even when I don't know how to forgive, thank the Lord that he empowers me to do whatever he asks of me. He's with me in it. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And I can call to him in any situation, in a boardroom, in my car, in a situation with friends or family, or we've gotten really hard news. Okay, well, what does God say? I already heard what the doctor says. What does God say? Let's fill our mouth with that. Right? Amen. It's not enough that he spoke it. I know that sounds a little woo. You need to speak it. He tells us that you, if you believe and you speak to the mountain, you let God's word be your words. And that is my goal as a woman, as a mom, as a wife. Lord, I humble myself. I'll be the first to admit when I get it wrong because I could care less if people point at me and say, oh, you make mistakes. Yeah, get in line. We all do. So, but the Lord died for my mistakes. The Lord has healed me, delivered me, saved me, and I am going to spend the rest of my life learning and opening my heart to the revelation of who he is, of who I am in him, and I'm not going to let anyone or the enemy get in my way. That song came to my mind as I was preparing this message to my audience of one. I think that was Jars of Clay or Third Day. I don't know. It was when I was younger. To my audience of one. We need to live with that revelation that the Lord is with me. What can man do to me? I think David said that in the Psalms. Why would I fear man when the one who made man lives inside of me, the one who knows everyone around me and wants to lead and guide me in the way everlasting, and I can know that. I can say, Lord, you're never going to miss me. I'm going to bug you. I'm going to be that kid. Dad. That's the kind of child he wants you to be, never leaving his side, always holding his hand. Psalm says he wants to lead you by the hand down the path of life. Kind of sounds like he doesn't want you running off on your own. So be that child that goes, Lord, I'm never leaving you. I'm going to keep asking you and learning and magnifying you and worshiping you for who you are and thanking you that I'm not worthy, but you chose me and I can do greater things than Jesus did. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will do greater things. Because let me tell you, we have exactly what Jesus had. It says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. He didn't have more of God than you have. Wrap your brain around that revelation. Blows my mind. I just go, Lord, thank you. The same God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I have the same God, not a little dab, not 10%, not one of a million, whatever. I have all of God in me. And when I have an understanding of that, I can give of him in a whole new way. I can speak to mountains. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I can cast out demons. I can speak in tongues because those signs will follow those who believe. That's it. Believe. Thank you, Lord, for making it so simple, and sorry, Lord, that we've made it so complicated. Just believe. Just be found in his presence and seek the one who loves you so much. As we close, I just want to read John 15, 9 to 12. I have loved you. This is Jesus. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Guys, we are radically loved. Just as God loves Jesus, Jesus has loved us with the same love. Abide in my love. Continue in the Father's love with me. That sounds like an adventure. That sounds like something we're being invited to stick with him, to abide there, to dwell there in his love. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love. And I love this. Live on in it. Amen. I want to be someone who lives on in the love of Christ. And he tells me how. Do what I say, Eden. Follow my example. Live the way I lived. Don't question it. Just do it. Just go, okay, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but my heart is that I will do it, that I want to. And I know that you're going to reveal to me what I need to know in this situation. Just radical, radical followership. I shouldn't have to use the word radical. This should be default for followers of Christ. But in our society, I have to say radical. Let us be people who go, oh, that's the norm. That's the norm with Jesus. Yeah, we see people healed, and we do already, thank the Lord, in this church. We get testimony after testimony of what God's doing simply because we know that he wants to be known by us, that he wants to walk with us. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and live on in his love. So notice that Jesus is a role model for us in this. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done already. And for those of you reading John with us, isn't it amazing how much he talks about his Father? I'm doing the work of my Father. As my Father has told me, that's what I say. He's modeling for us the very life in which we were made to live. In the environment that we thrive in is his presence. Like a plant needs soil and light and all the things it needs, you can't thrive without him. He is your environment. God is your environment. And you can be with him as much or as little as you decide. Because it's according to your heart, according to your longing that you want to know him. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure. Does God want you happy? Yes. He wants you full of joy and complete and overflowing. But where is our joy found? In walking with him, in radically doing all the things he tells us to do. We are so loved. We are so blessed. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. That's Jesus 101. That's where we start, loving one another. You won't get anything else if you're getting so caught up in being disunified and gossiping and strife. And this should be the natural habitat for someone who is following Jesus, is that I love anyone and everyone. How that love looks is going to be different. There are people who are not safe to be around. There are people who we need to love from a distance. So don't assume you know what love means. Take it to God. Take it to God. Lord, I find this person really hard to love. But you call me to love, so I believe that I can love them with your love. And Lord, will you show me? What boundaries? What things do I need to do? What do I need to change in my heart as to how I'm seeing them? Just be radically surrendered to him. And let's get this right as a church, because God wants to do big things in this generation. And it's going to take a spotless bride. People who get the plank out of their eye, like Pastor Zach talked about last week. Don't be scared. Just yank it out. Ask God for help. Lord, where are my planks? Let me not be someone who judges, but who does the work first in me and then goes, can I help you? I dealt with this once before too. Can I show you what God showed me about this? Rather than pointing the finger, let us be people who live spirit contemporary lives, as Dad would share with us, and bring people along in the journey. Bring them along in how God's love radically changed you. I'm not perfect. I've not arrived, but let's keep going. Why would we park out and just worry about what we're getting wrong? Let's go, Lord, I repent. I'm going to change from my ways. Now show me what you have for me here. Amen? Would you bow your heads? God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And God, may we be an answer to Jesus's prayer that we would be one with you. May we take that to heart in this church. May we realize just how much you love us. May we open our hearts to your revelation to be people of radical obedience, that we're following Jesus no matter what the cost, that we're going to go the Jesus way, that we're going to thrive in you, in your love, in your joy, in your peace. You are the giver of all good things. And I pray, Lord, that you would just give more. Well, I don't have to pray. I know that you give more to revelation to us. I pray that our hearts would be opened, that hearts across this room, Lord, would lean in and know that you are good. You are love. There is no evil in you. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, may we be people who come to know you and experience your goodness on a whole new level, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you want to start that journey with God, I'd be more than honored to pray a prayer with you. The Bible says that God so loved you that he sent his son because we were in peril. We were in sin. We were lost without him. We were disconnected. And Jesus came and lived the life that we couldn't live, the sinless, perfect life. And he died on the cross in our place. He rose again, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. And his victory is our victory. And his name is the name we can speak over everything. And if you want God's presence in you today, I don't want to leave this place without giving you that opportunity. So many of us have prayed this prayer. Would you just raise your hand right now if you'd like to ask God into your life? And to have that assurance that if you were to pass away today, that you'd be in the presence of the Almighty. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God loves you so much. Thank you. I can't wait for you to just see how much. Starts with believing, thank you, in him and opening your heart to him. Because God can't make his will come in your life unless you cooperate, unless you say, Lord, I'm here for it. I want to receive the gift. So let's pray with these amazing people. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus and he died for me and he rose again. I want to follow you every day. I thank you that you're always with me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we congratulate those who prayed that prayer?